Welcome, everybody, to the Sportscast, February 12th, 2018. A long overdue Sportscast. We got Ryan Krista on the line. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good. How are you, Santiago?
Pretty good, pretty good. We have a unique trade that happened, a couple of trades that happened last week. Obviously, everything's been Cleveland Cavalier-centric trades. And we had Isaiah Thomas traded to the Lakers for a few of their young players to Cleveland. Cleveland is younger. What do you think?
Yeah, well, we'll start with the first trade, shipping Isaiah Thomas to Los Angeles in exchange for Larry Nance Jr. and Jordan Clarkson. Yeah, you got a lot more athletic with Larry Nance as a above average defender, athletic rebounds, not a great scorer, but adds a lot more athleticism to their team. And Jordan Clarkson is a guy who can come off the bench, he can do instant offense, good ball handler if you need him. Just a solid overall player. Definitely makes the Cavaliers a lot more well balanced. Basically, they shipped out Isaiah Thomas because that was a failed experiment. And we'll talk about Isaiah Thomas in the sense that he already knows he went from one of the MVP candidates last year, averaging almost 30 points a game, to Cleveland, where you're going to try to help the team win the championship and get over the cliff of beating the Warriors, and all of a sudden he's injured. And then when he comes back, the Cavaliers can't find their chemistry. It seems like he wants to be the main player, but in Cleveland, it's all about LeBron. So it just wasn't a fit. So they sent him out to Los Angeles. Los Angeles doesn't really care who they got. Los Angeles wins this trade if they're able to get LeBron James or Paul George to come to their team next year, because they're able to get off of Jordan Clarkson's contract out of their team. So it's a win-win. Isaiah Thomas is a soon-to-be free agent, goes to the Lakers, but hopefully score a lot of points, make himself more attractive for a team next year. So hopefully it'll be 1-1 for everybody.
Who do you think will be starting, Ball or Thomas?
Well, if you're the Lakers, you can really care less about Isaiah Thomas, I think, because in a sense, you're just, he's not your long-term future in the team, but Lonzo Ball is. So I think they would like to bring Thomas off the bench. This is where it gets tricky, because Isaiah Thomas, being one of the best players in the league last year, his ego probably says he doesn't want to come off the bench for the rest of the year, but who's going to win? Then you're in a public nightmare trip, and LeVar Ball into it. Situation of Lonzo has to come off the bench, so it could be a long headache that's in here for Luke Walton and the Lakers management.
And also, Rodney Hood and George Hill were also traded to the Cavaliers.
Yes, I think this is more of an instant impact player. George Hill is a veteran player, good defender. Runs your offense in the second unit. Rodney Hood is an extremely athletic player, can shoot the ball, good defender. I mean, these are two players that are going to bolster their bench a lot and, make this team extremely deep. I think this is the best trade of all in these two return players. But really, not much. You're getting rid of Derrick Rose, who was barely played, and half the team. And Iman Shumpert, who's also been injured most of the year. So you get two good players for really nothing.
And also, Dwayne Wade traded back to the Heat for a lightly protected future second-round pick.
So basically, they said, Dwayne, you're not a long-term future. You're not going to play a lot. How about we do you some goodwill and send you back where you want to go? Not much to this trade other than just a lot of goodwill. Friends with LeBron James. Came to Cleveland to probably piggyback his way to the championship. Also doesn't want to be the last guy off the bench, not playing much. So send him back to Miami where he's comfortable, where his family's comfortable. The fans love him there, so it's a win-win. That was more of a gesture than anything.
So after all these trades, where do you see Cleveland in the East? Are they going to become a number one seed, or they're going to still be, you know, battling out with the other teams?
It really, you know, obviously they did well yesterday against the Celtics. Was that just a one game thing, or is it going to take this team most of the season to gel together? Because you take away, you know, 40% of their minutes and points after a team has shipped them off, and you bring, you know, a whole new team to, you know, without a training camp, and you only got, what, 30% of the season left. How quick are they going to be able to mold themselves together? And most importantly, they're just going to be able to mold themselves together in time for the playoffs. Like last year, the Celtics were number one seed, but it really didn't matter when push comes to shove. It's who's playing best when it comes to April. Seeds are kind of irrelevant to the grand scheme of things, because I don't think home court advantage means all that much in the NBA.
Home court and home field advantage means a lot for teams, I think, both in the NFL and the NBA. And speaking about the NFL, we had Colts got their head coach, Frank Reich. He agrees to a 5-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts.
That's a crazy situation. You know, right after the Super Bowl, you have the Lions and Colts. Colts have basically come to terms without signing contracts with Josh McDaniels with the Colts, Matt Patricia with the Lions. You know, Wednesday we have the Lions introduce Matt Patricia, the former coordinator, the defense coordinator with the Patriots. And then just right, you know, they have a news conference every Wednesday, and all of a sudden Josh McDaniels has a conference with Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft. And all of a sudden now he wants to stay as the offensive coordinator with the Patriots. But with Saturday night meeting, I'm not quite sure. My guess is they're meeting him kind of coach in waiting or associate coach. You know, I assume he's treated more as a peer to Bill Belichick than more of a, than a subordinate. So he's probably getting treated a little bit better. Probably a little bit of a pay raise. That's what I think of, you know, because everybody, you're going 32 head coach. He's, you know, he worked with Doug Peterson in Kansas City. He's worked, you know, with Phillip Rivers in San Diego, Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. So he's worked with a lot of great quarterbacks, a lot of good coaches, and he was in also in Kansas City. So he's well groomed. You know, I'm assuming he was part of the transformation to make Carson Wentz, you know, going into December was going to be league MVP, and also being able to groom and get Nick Foles playing his best football of his career at the most important time. I think this is, you know, this could end up being a blessing in disguise for the Colts, because you have hopefully Andrew Luck coming back from his injury this year. And now you got, you know, a guy who played the position in the NFL, got a lot of knowledge, and hopefully he'll be able to help the Colts turn the corner, because they have had a couple rough years, mostly playing without Andrew Luck.
Now with the new coach, Frank Reich, do you think he needs to plan like he's going to have Luck at the start of the season, or do you think they're going to mix it up with Jacoby Brissett and maybe later on with Andrew Luck?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm assuming Andrew Luck will do okay and play well last year. I think it was more of a precautionary. You know, once the season started downhill, it wasn't worth trying to push him back. I think we can regret, you know, a good situation to Jacoby Brissett. He's not made to be an NFL starting quarterback right now, but he's definitely very useful as an NFL backup quarterback. I assume they're going to probably plan on having Andrew Luck the whole year, because without Andrew Luck, this team doesn't have a whole lot of talent with them. Unless the former GM, Brian Goodson, did not do a good job of putting a lot of talent around Andrew Luck. So when they take Andrew Luck out of this team did not have a great season.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation with Indianapolis. I know that the Luck situation is kind of a mystery, it feels like. I know that they had to reoperate his arm. So it feels like a Peyton Manning situation that happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's a lot younger than Peyton Manning was at that time. And Peyton Manning's situation with his neck just a lot more unknown. I mean, we all kind of hope for Andrew Luck to come back because he's a young, talented quarterback and he's fun to watch. So we're all kind of praying that he gets back. You know, not that I'm a Colts fan or anything, but the league's always fun when we got our best quarterbacks playing.
Yeah, and there's a few people that, you know, they're wondering, we'll be back on week one. Is OBJ going to be back? Is Carson Wentz? Is David Johnson? But we shouldn't be worried about that now because I'm sure there's plenty of time to recuperate. And I think...
Yeah, you know, as NFL fans, we turn their attention to the NFL Combine and free agency, which starts at the beginning of March. That's kind of where you'll be on the time clock of the NFL season. Oh, you'll see a lot more of drafts, you know, and then you got who's going to get franchise tagged, you know. So you'll get a lot of that talk in the next month or so.
Yeah.
And as we get past that, then we're going to worry about who's going to be back for training camp, who's going to be back for the regular season.
And also some other news, Johnny Manziel wants to come back. But I heard that he wants to – I mean, I heard he has an offer in the CFL. Where do you see Johnny Manziel? Like, how should he come back?
I think starting the CFL would probably be his best bet. I know it's a little different style of football, not 100% same as the NFL. So it's not like a true minor league, but it'll show that he's got, you know, what kind of responsibility he's gained in the last couple of years being away from the NFL, or, you know, what kind of talent he still left. Is he still, can he still move around? And for his size, he had a pretty good arm. So we're going to see. I think that's the best bet. I don't think any NFL team right now will take a chance on him.
I agree. I think he's a little bit of a hothead, and he has to prove it. But I don't see many two players coming from the CFL to the NFL. It's kind of a hard situation. It's once you're out, it feels like you're out for good.
Yeah, you know, every couple of years you have your Doug Flutie's, you have your Warren Moons, you see him every once in a while. You know, defensive like Cameron Wake, you know, was a former MVP of the CFL. You see him every once in a while. It's not a yearly thing where you're going to see the best CFL player come to the NFL and make it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's all we have today. This weekend is the All-Star Game. So it should be an interesting – it's an interesting format because I believe the captains, Curry and LeBron, picked their teams. Now, is it a mix of, like, let's say LeBron can pick someone from the West, or is it like he has to pick within the East?
Yeah, so they have the starting lineup from the East and the West. So, you know, the starting lineup for the East, starting lineup for the West. And so the West team – obviously Curry, and then the East team is LeBron, and then they pick seven reserves from each league, and they, you know, so they have 14 players, and then Curry chose his reserves, and LeBron chose his team. So he kind of chose him. LeBron chose players from the West, Curry chose players from the East.
Sounds good to me. It should be exciting. All-Star game.
So, let me ask you this, Santiago. Do you watch more of the All-Star Game or Saturday Night Skills show?
I have not watched Saturday Night Skills. Is that on ESPN or something?
No, I think it's on TNT. It's usually where you got the three-point shootout, the slam dunk competition.
Oh, the All-Star activities. I actually watched the slam dunk one and the three-point like the three-point shot contest. I watched those and also the All-Star game. So I kind of watch most of the weekend.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the All-Star game itself. You know, watch it a little bit. You know, Eventually, it just becomes its own slam dunk competition. But
out
it's
of
just fun to see the stars out there playing together. You know,
but
it
I
shouldn't
wish they
matter.
brought
You know,
back the rookie All-Star game in the NBA.
so it's kind of like they have what they call the Rising Stars game. So it's kind of the same idea. It's just Team USA versus Team World.
Oh, that's right. That's going to happen. Well,
instead of being rookies or sophomores. Next year, we play that Friday night.
Okay. It should be a good weekend. And I guess LeBron is still not registered for the Slam Dunk Conference. I mean,